So you guys, will you join me in doing this real quick? My friend Dustin told me a long time ago that he likes to pray like this, and then he likes to come to his time in the Word like this and come to a Sunday morning service like this. Because this is the I want to receive kind of thing. And it's also a surrender type thing, right? And so I pray that you'd be able to receive. I got a lot to hand off to you in a fairly short amount of time. And I ask that you would be ready to receive, that you'd allow yourself to receive. I appreciate that you would take time today. I love you guys. I love my church so much. It's not Aaron Day's church. I'm part of this church, our church, the body of Christ. I'm so thankful. And I never, ever want to try to beat you over the head, but also don't want to just try to tickle your ears. So if you're ready
to receive,
all right, if you're ready to receive, then you don't have to keep your hands like this, but maybe keep your heart like this. We're going to go to the book of James. Pastor John did an amazing job. I was going to give you more of a recap. I spent that time in communion and prayer, and so here we are. As you're turning to James 1, real faith is the application of God's truth in your life, Pastor John said. Steadfastness is endurance, fortitude, not passive, but strong and active response to what you've been given. And so we're talking about real faith and real life in the book of James. James is the half-brother of Jesus, but he didn't call Jesus, hey, bro. He called him Lord, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Lots changed, as Pastor John pointed out to you, for James and for his other siblings as well. If you give to Crosswater, thank you. God bless you. Please keep giving as vacation and inflation happens. People are starting to give less and less, not just here, but all around the world. I want to remind you that when you give to Crosswater, you give through Crosswater. There's a lot of people that get blessed, not just the people in this community. Starts with this community, but goes out, like it says in Acts 1:8, all over the place. So keep giving, please. You guys know what a paradox is? Anybody? Yeah? Say it again. That sounds like me in math. Right. So a question's unable to be resolved. What else? Paradox. Paradoxical. It's two things that seem to be completely opposite or contradictory that actually end up making a good point, end up making sense. So we're talking about new perspective last week. Today we're talking about a paradoxical perspective, something that doesn't seem to make sense and yet it really does. Like this, the high low. How can something be high and low at the same time? Well, let's check it out. Let's go to James 1, verse 9. Let the lowly brother or sister boast in his exaltation. Those maybe aren't words that you use most of the time. Lowly and exaltation. Lowly means low. In this case, he's talking about poor and humble. But he's saying it's an exalted position. Where might you have heard something like that before? Say it again. From Christ. He who is the most high became low. So humility is a big deal to God, and it always will be. The lowly brother, let him boast in his exaltation. Will you guys turn with me? Keep your finger in James. You're going to go to John 10, 27 through 30, and I think this will help us understand how somebody can be lowly and exalted all at the same time. Check it out. Good morning, Chris. John 10, 27 through 30. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I'm going to start to ask you to consider how this could call a brother or sister who's lowly exalted. Just right in that very first verse, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You ever wondered if Jesus claimed divinity or being God? There's a sweet passage you could point them to. So, how can the low be high coming off of that? I'm going to let you guys do the quick wheels spinning. How can humility be a high position? We don't like to be humbled. We don't like to be without things. We don't like to be without money. We don't like to be without answers. And that's humility, and that's a low position. How can you still be exalted in that position? Amen. Dana says, trusting God. What else? Really quick. It's in the word brother. It's in the word sheep. It's in that word that nobody can snatch you out of my hand. You belong. You're in because of Jesus. Not because you're American, not because you're white, not because you're male, not because you're female, not because you're tall, not because you're short, not because you're rich, not because you're poor, but because of Jesus. This is like, no matter how humbling and crazy low things get here, you're exalted if you are a brother or sister in Christ. Nobody can snatch you out of his hand. As my old youth pastor, who actually sadly forgot his place in Jesus and took his own life, as he used to say, you're in his grip. You're in his grip. This is what makes you high and exalted. Jesus. So that's paradox. A high low. How about the low high? How does that even, all right, I kind of get that you can be lowly and have some challenges here and don't get all of your things that you were hoping for, or the Disney flick missed you or whatever, but how in the world can you be low because you're high? Well, it's because we're not talking about highness as far as this world is concerned that makes you high. We said highness as far as being God's makes you high. The stuff of this world can actually make you low. Check it out. We'll go verses 10 through 11 really quick. So let the rich boast in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he'll pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat. That'll be us here this upcoming week, right? For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Have you ever marveled at the fact that these flowers can be so gorgeous and the next day wilted and gone? Or really close to that? It's in a short amount of time. He's saying, look, don't think that all of the stuff that you think is going to keep you happy is actually going to make it happen, because it won't. It'll be gone in an instant. Literally, two friends passing away in the last month. One just a couple years older than me, and one just a couple years younger. Neither of them had a sickness that was going to take them imminently. Happened like that. So we think that maybe, well, if I get enough for my house, I can move into a different house. Or if I move to a different location where they think like I do, then I'll be happier and I'll be higher up and I'll feel really good. That's a low position, God says. It's a low position. Look, don't get it twisted. I think people have not only the free will that God has given them, but the opportunity to have conviction in their life. And if they want to go live somewhere or whatever, I'm not shaming them. I'm just saying you're not going to find highness in comfort. Not this comfort. Not the money here. Not the position here. God's word says, well, that just perishes pretty quickly. Check it out. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:9. Again, keep your finger there, and we're just going to kind of cherry pick some verses here. And this is to your point, Carol. So if you wouldn't mind, would you read this verse? It's either out of your Bible or crack it open here. It's 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Are we talking about money here?
I don't think so.
Are you sure? Because there's some great preachers out there that have dope houses and shoes. I'm going to say shoes one more time. Shoes. What makes them rich is Jesus. Not their stuff. Stuff just doesn't last. So this paradox of the high-low and the low-high gets met in the book of James with the highest high ever. So let's look at it. It's James 1:12. If the rich man just fades quickly and the poor man can never be snatched out of God's hand, remember that it's the poorness of this world and the richness of this world that he's talking about. If we're rich in Christ, right? We're set free. We're not bound by these bodies, by this weather, by politics, by pandemics, by finances. Hey, that's his job. Just go for it. We're not bound by anything that the world says we're bound by. Are you going to die? Does anybody have this idea that they're not going to? Thank you. Does anybody, I know some of us are voting for Jesus, come back, please. I'm pretty sure he's coming back because look, everything's on fire. And America's struggling. God must be coming back. I hope so. I'm looking for that, have been, because I love his rule and his reign most of the time. There are days where I'm like, yeah, try not to touch that. It's my little pet thing that I'm working on over here. And he's like, oh gosh, you're the lowly one. Remember, I'm the one that lifts you. Oh. And as Pastor John said last week, he uses trials to get at those things. And we so quickly want to get out of the trial. If I could just fast forward through this, God, if you could just teach me what I need to know real quick. Oh, son, daughter, this one's going to take a minute. You are pretty stubborn. There's the dross that Pastor John was talking about that comes up when you're being refined in the fire. And he's like, okay, we'll take that off. Whew, that was painful. Thanks so much. Oh, what? There's more? Yeah, there's more. But there's the highest high that we've been promised. And so, here you go. And I'll just say this. No matter how low we can be with regards to the world's goods, we have an exceedingly rich high in spiritual terms. And those often who have very little are able to focus the most on Jesus. But there are people who have very little that are just continually wanting more. And there's those who are very rich who continually want more. So check this out, verse 12. Blessed. Do you guys remember what that word means really quick? Anybody? What does it mean to be blessed? Challenged? Supernatural favor. Ooh, gosh. Everybody wants to immediately be blessed. Do they want supernatural favor? Do they want the high that God says is high? Or do they want the high that looks like, oh man, I got a woman, I got a man, I got a job, I've got like hope, I've got a future because look at my house, look at my stuff? Or is it, as Dr. Tony Evans says, a God-given capacity to experience, enjoy, and extend God's goodness in life. Like, he's given you the ability to see his goodness in all kinds of things. It's sunny right here, right now. The other half of the world is in the dark, but the sun, friend, still shining. So listen, blessed, supernatural favor, not just to be happy, but happy the way the Lord says. Blessed is the man or woman who remains steadfast. Go back to John's message on that again. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. I'm going to have to just summarize something pretty quickly as I turn to Philippians 1:21. The crown of life is Jesus. You get him. Yeah, I've already got him. Can I get some stuff too? Yeah, let me tell you about stuff. In heaven, the ground that people walk on is made out of gold. How cool is gold? Oh, it's pavement. God is so amazingly greater than what we could come up with on our own. And yet, we're going to keep trying. Sounded like that whole Cheeto diet thing was something we're willing to give another shot to. Hopefully, I'll lose weight this time. Well, how about this? Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The high, the crown of life, the highest high is God and being in his presence. Often we already like, God, I know that I'm going to be with you and everything will be taken care of there. But I'm here. What are you going to do about it now? I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to lift your eyes up to the one who made you. And I'm going to use all kinds of things to do it, including trials. But next, we get this introduction to a thing called temptation. And I want to give you a little perspective on temptation. Temptation and trials are similar in that they can refine you, but trials really are a testing from God. Temptation is not from God. The opportunity to overcome temptation is from God. The refining that you can get as trusting him and saying no to the temptation, that's from God. But listen to this from Warren Wiersbe's, we consider this idea of temptation. Certainly God does not want us to yield to temptation. Yet neither can he spare us the experience of temptation. Why not? Why can't God? I mean, God can do anything. This man who's preached a lot and is dead in heaven now says God can't spare us the experience of temptation. Why? Was that what I thought it was? That a girl. Yeah, don't blame the baby. Don't blame the baby. Ben says free will is the reason why he can't spare us. He gave us free will. So we can choose whatever we want. And we do. They made me feel that way, did they? They made me do this, did they? I'm not saying they're there to help you necessarily. But it's not what people call you, it's what you answer to. That is amazing. I am perennially 12 years old, so you're missing out on a baby that's farting. That's why you need to come to church. Okay. We're not God's sheltered people, but as Pastor John talked about last week, we're God's scattered people. And that scatter made the good news go all over the world. So what looked like trials and what looked like persecution, because it was also God saying, oh, all these people get to hear the good news now. I mean, God doesn't waste anything. You've heard me say this so many times. God is the God that designed manure as fertilizer. Crap happens, it does, but it also makes stuff grow. Unless you just look at it, ooh, that stinks and it's a pile. Spread it around. I'm making a shirt, just wait for it. Jim, are you here today? Yeah, you and me. Maybe we could talk about a shirt thing. Okay. Finally, this one, and then we're going to get into the passage, and then we're going to move on. A temptation is an opportunity to accomplish a good thing in a bad way outside of the will of God. The temptation to fulfill my appetites in a way that's outside of God's will is like, he gave me these appetites, but he's given me ways to satisfy them that honor him. And putting off immediate gratification is one of those things, whether it be food or sex or notoriety, acknowledgement, whatever it might be. All those things, God said, look, you need these things. But what we do to fulfill those outside of God's will is bad, and that's us giving in to temptation. Friend, let's go to the passage. It's so much better than I can say it. I want to show you that there's three barriers to help overcome temptation. Give a quick shout out to the aforementioned Warren Wiersbe. This is kind of a derivative of what he had in one of his study books. And so there's three barriers that will help us overcome temptation. Why would somebody like me use the word barrier when it comes to temptation? Do we want to just give in to temptation? Yeah, it's a guard. It's a block, if you'll allow it. James 1, 13 through 16. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Anybody know who led Jesus into the desert where he was to be tempted? Who led him there? Was it Satan? It was the Holy Spirit. God doesn't get tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil, but he allows us free will, and he allows us to be tempted. But just because you're being tempted doesn't mean you have to give into it. Well, you don't know. I had this and this and that. Okay. But God provides a way out for you, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. He doesn't just say, oh, sorry, I didn't see that one coming. As Ben said earlier in prayer, God's got a plan, and he's never off the rails. If you and I are going off the rails, we need to come back because of his kindness and repent. All right, that's more preaching than I had planned. But then again, all right. But each person is tempted when he's lured, think fishing, lured and enticed by his own desire. Then, desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth, which is another way to say birth, gives birth to death. Let me read that to you one more time, verse 15. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. The first barrier that we're looking at is God's judgment. God makes it super clear to us that temptation isn't his fault. It's ours. Desire, deception, disobedience, and death. The four nasty D's. We have a desire. We're deceived thinking that I can just fulfill it because God gave me this. He doesn't give you sin. This one lady told me, why would God make me same-sex attracted and then tell me that it's wrong? I'm like, God didn't make you same-sex attracted. Are you same-sex attracted? Are you attracted to people that aren't your spouse? All these different things. Sure, all those things are there. It's the fall of mankind. God has provided a way out from that. He doesn't just say, look, just give in to it. You just got to be happy. After all, love is love. No, God is love. He has made it super clear what's right and what's wrong. So in this first barrier that I'm really done with at this second is God's judgment. He says it's not me, it's you. Remember the whole breakup call? It's not me. It's not you, it's me. I'm moving in another direction. I've just grown weary. Whatever. No, Jesus is saying, it's not me, it's you. It's your desire and you fulfilling it in an ungodly way. Don't be deceived. So the second barrier comes from verse 17. First barrier is God's judgment. He says what's right and what's wrong, and he does that as a protection for us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, continually coming down. The Father of lights. What a great title for God. With whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. He's always good all of the time. So what is our next barrier? God's goodness. He only gives good gifts, and he gives them perfectly. He gives constantly, and he doesn't change. Here's the challenge that we have, though. God sends us a trial like Pastor John talked about last week, or there's a temptation that we find ourselves in the way of, and that trial causes us to be tempted because we're going to try to get out of it as soon as we can and do whatever we can to get past this. So I'm going to just fulfill my own needs, and therefore God's tempted me to sin because he gave me a trial. Does this sound familiar to anybody in their own life? You don't have to testify to what it is. If you just put your hand up, you won't be the only person. I'll put both up. I'd put my leg up too, but I'll fall. You're going to have to pick me up, bro. It should sound really familiar, not just because of that, but Genesis 3. Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to? It was that woman you sent me. Goes to the woman. Did you eat? Well, it was the serpent. You want a dad joke? If you find yourself on a road that you don't like, don't blame anybody else. It's your own asphalt. Asphalt? I probably am going to get fired, but... Or at least you're going to take away that. Yeah, okay. Anyways, my wife gave me a desk calendar that has all these jokes. You're welcome. I am blaming her. See, it's shifting. It's the whole fault thing. God's goodness, he doesn't tempt you to sin. Every good and every perfect gift comes from him, and he's constantly giving us good gifts. The greatest gift we talked about in verse 12 is himself, the crown of life. Who gives us the crown of life? Oh, life itself, the source. Final one, verse 18. Of his own will. Whose own will are we talking about? Father of lights, you guys. The one who gives only good and perfect gifts all the time. Of his own will, he brought us forth. This, again, is another reference to birth. This time, it's the second birth, the new birth that he talks about in John 1 and John 3. You must be born again. Remember that? Born from above. This is so good. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Be rooted. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In John 1, 12, and 13, it's those who receive and believe are given new birth. Not by the will of man or by blood or any, but of God. And so, the final thing that we see after God's judgment, God's goodness, is God's nature in us. I just don't get it, God. I don't understand it. He's patient, and he's calling to repent. He's patient, and he's calling you to remember. He's patient, and he's calling you to reside in him, even when the world is literally going to hell in a handbasket. So I want to remind you of these three things, and then we'll pray. Remember God's judgment. Remember God's goodness. Remember God's nature in us, and they all work together. Who's deciding to read through James with us? Who's gotten bold and is reading through it once a day, like the entire book? It's a sweet read. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I feel like I'm just checking it off the list. And so God called me out on that. And so I gave it a bonus day of just enjoying him and enjoying his word. But if you're not reading through the whole book, read through a few verses at least every day. It's so good. Literally, I was told when I was a very young Christian that this book of James is a how-to book on Christianity. And as Pastor John said, a lot of people have a struggle with this how-to book because it's so proverbial. It's so straightforward. Remember, Mark Twain said it wasn't the stuff in the Bible he didn't understand that caused him fits. It's what he did understand that caused him fits. James is pretty straightforward. And it's really, really good for us. God, thank you for your time. As if you are held by time. You're not, but you gave us time and you gave us yourself. I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for your judgment. I thank you for your nature in us. I thank you that we don't have to give in to temptation. And I thank you so much for the love that you've shown us, that at just the right time, while we were powerless, you died for us, and so we can know that we'll never be snatched out of your hand as we're your people. God, you're so good. You're so gracious. You're so kind. You never change. And this world does, and we do, but you never do. God, may we take you at your word. May we believe that you brought us forth by the word of truth. And may we live for your good and perfect name, believing that even in this world, if we're feeling lowly, and that's going to happen more and more, that we're actually in the highest position ever because we're your people, and that will not be snatched from us. May we not rely on riches. May we rely on the King of Kings. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.